Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Hey, good morning. You know, one of the quiet truths about Christmas is that everyone brings a story with them, a story of where we've been, a story of what we hope for, and whether we like to admit it or not, a story of what we've lost. For many people, the holidays stir something deeper than nostalgia. The holidays stir a longing for home, a longing for belonging, longing for connection, a longing for relationships that feel safe and steady and whole. It's fascinating. You can surround yourself with people. You can be immersed in celebration. You could even be sitting in church and still feel this ache for something more, something secure, or something unconditional, something like a father's love. But the truth is, not everyone hears the word father and thinks of warmth or affection or stability. Some people, when they hear the word father, they think absence or distance or unpredictability or someone they could never quite please or someone who wasn't there when they needed them most. And then Isaiah comes along and drops this shocking name for the Messiah, Everlasting Father. Not just a father, not even a better father, but an everlasting father, a father whose love doesn't weaken, a father whose presence doesn't fade, a father whose patience doesn't run out, a father whose heart doesn't close off. Isaiah is saying, when you meet the Messiah, you encounter the father heart of God in its purest form. What's easy to miss is that the first century world that Jesus entered was profoundly fatherless. It's both ancient and startlingly modern. In Rome, the family patriarch had absolute control over the household, but many children never knew affection from him. He was distant. He was unapproachable. He was often feared. In Israel, fatherhood was honored in concept, but harsh economic realities meant many fathers were absent. They were lost to war. They were sick. They lost to labor or early death. It was a culture with high reverence for fatherhood, but low experience of healthy fatherhood. And into that world, a world filled with orphans and widows and fractured families and unhealed father wounds, Isaiah's prophecy was like the first sign that healing was possible. The Messiah will father you unlike any earthly father could. And he'll do it forever. 20 centuries later, we're still wrestling with the same ache. Psychologists will tell you some of the deepest identity struggles that we face are traced back to relationships with fathers, whether present or absent, whether tender or harsh, whether stable or unpredictable. We live in a culture with more connectivity than ever and more loneliness than ever. More freedom, more insecurity, more opportunity, more anxiety. We're surrounded by people searching for identity and grounding, for a sense of who they are, for a sense of whose they are. And Isaiah whispers across 2,700 years, you are not fatherless. You have an everlasting father, and he's better than you can ever imagine. I heard a guy say recently, my kids think I'm the world's strongest dad, right up until they need something opened, right until they need help opening a jar, you know? Every father, earthly fathers, I mean, even the best ones, were limited. I mean, we try, we care, but we're human. And Isaiah says the Messiah is different. He doesn't love imperfectly. He doesn't run out of patience. He doesn't get overwhelmed or distracted or distant. His presence is steady. His heart is constant. His love is everlasting. And again, Christmas turns everything upside down. The everlasting Father arrives as a fragile newborn. The one who holds eternity enters into time. The one who spoke galaxies into existence must now be held by teenage arms. It's as if God wanted to show us from the very beginning, my heart has always been to draw near. My desire has always been closeness. I'm not the kind of father who waits for you to climb the mountain. I'm the kind of father who comes down to find you. So today we're going to explore what it means that Jesus is our everlasting Father, a name that speaks to identity, a name that speaks to security and belonging and a love that never quits. And we're going to begin with this point. Jesus reveals the Father heart of God in a way the world has never seen before. When Isaiah called the coming Messiah, everlasting Father, it wasn't a casual metaphor. It wasn't poetic language that meant, you know, that's kind of like inspiration that you would put on a greeting card. It was radical. It was countercultural. No one in Isaiah's world or in the first century world that Jesus stepped into thought of God this way. I mean, they thought of God as holy, as powerful, as judge, as distant, as beyond them. But a father, and a father who is gentle and approachable and compassionate and patient and tender. I mean, that was just something entirely new. Most people in Jesus' day didn't picture God as someone who welcomed closeness. They pictured a God whose presence was confined to a temple, a God who spoke through prophets, a God whose holiness meant distance. And so when Jesus arrived, he didn't just reveal that God is Father, he revealed the kind of Father that Jesus is, that God is. When you watch Jesus in the Gospels, what you see is the Father, not the culturally distorted picture of a father, but you see the truest picture of a father. You see the Father in his touch when he reaches out to lepers and draws them near. You see a father in his compassion when he looks at the crowds and his heart breaks for them. You see a father in his tears when he stands outside Lazarus's tomb and weeps. You see a father in his protection when he shields the woman that's caught in adultery from those ready to stone her. You see the father in his welcome when he opens his arms to children that the disciples are trying to turn away. Everything Jesus does reveals the Father who is saying to us, this is who I've been the whole time. It's almost funny how often the disciples didn't get this. I mean, they just kept thinking Jesus would reveal God in a way that the world thought that Jesus would come, like with power, earthly power, and forceful, and, you know, being intimidating and dramatic. It's like they expected Jesus to show up in like a booming James Earl Jones voice, you know, like lightning cracking behind him, angels doing like backup vocals or something like that. But instead, he blesses children and he tells stories and he calms storms and he cooks breakfast on a beach and he cries with grieving friends. The disciples kept waiting for this dramatic, like, father power, and they got everyday father presence because that's who God is. Some people think the Old Testament shows an angry God, and the New Testament shows like a nicer version of God. Like, you know, Jesus is the consumer service representative of the Trinity or something like that. But Jesus didn't soften God. He didn't. He revealed God. The writer of Hebrews says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Not a hint of the Father, not a glimpse, not an approximation. The exact representation. If you've ever wondered what God is really like, just look at Jesus. The truth is, every human heart aches for a father, whether we like to admit it or not. Not like a perfect earthly father, not a father who never fails, but a father whose love is steady and safe and unconditional and protecting and guiding and present. And Jesus steps into history and says, anyone who has seen the Father, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He doesn't just talk about the Father. He embodies the Father. He demonstrates the Father. He delivers the Father's heart to the very people who feared they weren't worthy of it. Maybe that's why so many people feel disconnected from God. They're trying to relate to God as a judge or a critic or a distant deity or a disappointed parent instead of everlasting Father. But Jesus refuses to let us settle for any unhealthy image of God. He just keeps showing us God is a father who draws near. He's not a father who pulls away. God is a father who lifts burden. He's not a father who adds to the burdens. God is a father who delights in you, not a father who merely tolerates you. Jesus reveals the father heart of God in a way the world never imagined, and in a way that some of us like desperately need to rediscover. So if Jesus shows us the Father is who he truly is, the next question becomes, what does this everlasting Father actually offer us? What does his fatherhood actually do in our lives? If you're taking notes, the everlasting Father gives us the identity, security, and belonging our hearts have been missing. One of the most important questions any human being ever asks, consciously or not, is who am I? Really, who am I? We spend so much time of our lives searching for identity in our achievements, in our titles, in our roles, in our relationships, in our success, in our failures, in our personalities. And we let the world tell us, you are what you do. You are what people think of you. You are what you produce. You are how well you perform. You are what you achieve. You are the sum of your mistakes. But Jesus arrives and reveals the everlasting Father, the one who speaks a different identity into us entirely. If you listen closely to Jesus, you realize he spends a lot of time telling us, telling people who they really are. You are forgiven. You are seen. You are valuable. You are loved. You are God's child. You are wanted. You belong to me, he says. This is what a true father does. He grounds your identity, not in what you accomplish, but in who you are to him. That's why when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he doesn't begin with like, oh, holy judge, or oh, righteous creator, or oh, sovereign king, although all of those would have been true. Instead, he says, when you pray, say, our Father. Because Jesus doesn't just invite us to talk to God. He invites us to talk to God the way he talks to God, as Father. In first century Jewish culture, a person's identity was inseparable to their father's name. You weren't simply Matthew. You were Matthew, son of Levi. Your father's name spoke to your heritage, to your security, to your place in society, to your protection, to your inheritance. And so when Jesus came proclaiming a God who is Father, he was offering so much more than just comfort. He was offering identity. He was saying, you are not defined by Rome. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by your failures or your family wounds. You are defined by a father who loves you unconditionally. And when Isaiah calls him everlasting father, he's saying that this identity can never be lost. It can never be taken from you. We live in a world where everything feels uncertain, like jobs can be lost overnight. Finances can collapse. Relationships can shift. Health can break. A future can just feel so fragile. But the everlasting Father doesn't change. His love doesn't fluctuate with our performance. His presence doesn't depend on our perfection. His faithfulness is not fragile. The psalmist wrote, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And when Jesus touches the hurting, when he calms the storms, when he forgives the sinners, when he restores the broken, he's showing us a father who we can trust. A father who doesn't walk out, a father who doesn't give up, a father who doesn't get tired with us, a father who doesn't just distance himself from us when we fail. He is everlasting, meaning his love outlasts like every season that we're going through in our lives. Have you ever noticed how adults basically become like big kids trying to figure out who they are? Like we buy things that make us feel important. We chase hobbies that, make us feel unique. We take personality tests. Am I an introvert or an extrovert? Am I a golden retriever? Am I an Enneagram 1, which I am? We keep trying to categorize ourselves and define ourselves and like brand ourselves. But there's something both funny and kind of tragic about it. We're searching for identity in things that shift every 5 years. And Jesus steps in to say, you don't have to build your identity. You just have to receive it. That's the Father's gift. One of the most beautiful things that Jesus ever said was this: in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And it's not because he was giving like an estate tour of heaven. It's because he was saying, there is a room for you. You belong to me. You're not an outsider. You are not a guest. You are family. And to people who feel forgotten, it's like Jesus is saying, you are welcome. To people who feel ashamed, he's saying, you are loved. To people who feel disqualified, he's saying, you are mine. Belonging is one of the deepest human needs and one of the most painful human wounds when we feel like we don't have it. Well, Jesus addresses that wound, not with religion, but with relationship, with a father who invites us home. A man who walked into church for the first time in years, he told me this. He said, I expected a lecture. I expected judgment. I expected, people staring at me like I didn't belong. But instead, he said, someone smiled and someone shook my hand, and someone learned my name, and someone made space for me. He said, it's actually the first time in my adult life I felt like I had a place. That's the Father's heart. Not a place where you're tolerated, but a place where you belong. So where do you feel insecure right now? Where do you feel like you don't measure up? Where do you feel like you're an outsider? Where do you feel like your identity is fragile or maybe unclear right now? The everlasting Father steps into those very places and says, you are mine. You are seen. You are loved. You have a home with me. He gives identity to those of us who are confused. He gives security to those of us who feel anxious. He gives belonging to those of us who feel lonely. He gives a name to those of us who feel nameless, because that's who he is. So if the everlasting Father gives us identity, security, and belonging, what does that love actually do in us? Like, how does it change the way that we live and love and move through the world? So if you're taking notes, the everlasting Father heals the wounds we carry and shapes us into who we were meant to be. Every one of us walks around with wounds. And they're wounds that we didn't choose. Some of them are from circumstances. Some of them are from relationships. Some of them are from our own choices. Some of them are from people who should have cared for us differently. And here's the truth that we don't say out loud often enough. We are all shaped by the love we received and by the love we didn't receive. And that's why the image of God as everlasting Father matters so deeply. He doesn't just give identity and belonging. He brings healing to the places where our hearts still ache. You know, some wounds are obvious. Others are quiet, like buried beneath the surface. The feeling that you always had to earn approval. The voice in your head that says you're never enough. Maybe the fear of abandonment. The ache of being overlooked. The pressure to be perfect. The insecurity that arises in every conflict you're in. The shame that you just can't quite shake. The fear of letting people close because, you know, that closeness didn't really work out too well last time. Many of those wounds trace back either directly or indirectly to experiences with fathers or father figures. Not because fathers are bad, but because fathers matter so much. Their presence matters so much. Their absence matters so much. Their affirmation matters. Their silence matters. And into that mix of experiences, Jesus steps in as everlasting Father and says, I see what happened to you. I know your pain, and I'm here to heal you. In the first century, fatherlessness was common because of war or disease or poverty or early death or abandonment or just harsh labor systems. Women and children were particularly vulnerable. There was no social safety net. There was no foster care. There was no childhood protections. And so when Jesus goes out of his way to protect the vulnerable, when he elevates children, when he welcomes the marginalized, when he restores dignity to the broken, everyone watching knew what he was doing. He was showing them, this is what the Father is like. This is what you've been longing for. One of the most beautiful patterns in Scripture is the way Jesus holds truth and tenderness together. He doesn't minimize wounds. He doesn't say, just get over it. He doesn't pretend like the pain isn't real, but he also doesn't leave people stuck in their brokenness. Instead, he walks into human stories with a steady presence and with unconditional love. To the woman at the well, he names her pain, and then he restores her identity. To Peter, after his denial, he doesn't shame him. Like, he reinstates him as leader. To Zacchaeus, he calls him by name and eats at his table like something no respectable rabbi would have done. To a woman caught in adultery, he protects her from her accusers and then gently calls her into a new way of life. Every encounter is the everlasting Father healing someone, not with force, but with his presence. In our world today, trauma therapists and neuroscientists say something Scripture has always been saying all along: unhealed wounds will leak into everything. They'll leak into our relationships, our parenting, our leadership, our self-image, our confidence, our emotional reactions, our faith. And a lot of conflict, either internal or external, isn't really about the present moment. It's about the past and how those wounds still hold power over us. But here's the good news. Wounds lose power in the presence of our everlasting Father, because his love does what human love can't do. It reaches into those places that no one else can reach. Let's be honest. No matter how put together we look on the outside, like, most of us are carrying around like internal chaos, right? Like, if emotional health were visible, if like you could see it just by looking at my face, like, some of us would be walking around with like fragile, handle with care labels on our foreheads. Like, others would need a label that says warning, may overreact without warning, or contents under pressure, you know. The beautiful thing is Jesus isn't intimidated by any of that. He sees the mess, and instead of backing away, he leans in. And the healing Jesus brings isn't about repairing the damage. It's about restoring identity. It's about reclaiming the parts of us that woundedness tried to steal. He doesn't just heal what's broken, he calls forth what's beautiful. He develops courage where maybe there was fear. He develops tenderness where hardness formed, or wisdom where confusion reigned, or forgiveness where bitterness grew in you, or resilience where shame whispered, or hope where despair settled in. That's why Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Because the everlasting Father doesn't patch your life together, he actually makes you new. I heard a woman once describe what happened when she began to let Jesus into her wounds. She said this: for years, I thought God was disappointed in me. I thought he was distant. I thought he was the one person that I needed to impress. But then somewhere along the way, his voice started to sound like love. And little by little, the heaviness I carried for decades started to loosen. That's the everlasting Father. He doesn't heal all the wounds at once, but he stays with you for the whole journey. So the question I have for you is, where do you feel wounded right now? Like, where is that place that you avoid thinking about? Where is that place you don't want to talk about? Where is the place that feels maybe too raw or too old or too complicated or too painful? I want you to know that the everlasting Father sees it, and he's ready to move toward it, and he wants to heal you, not by shaming you, but by loving you, not by rushing you, but by walking with you, not by forcing change, but by forming his life, new life in you, because that's who he is. So if everything that we've said so far is true, if that Jesus reveals the Father heart of God, that he gives us identity and security and belonging, that he heals the wounds that we carry, then the question becomes deeply practical. How do we actually live in this love every day? Not just understand it, not just sing about it at Christmas, but let it reshape how we see God. Let it reshape how we see ourselves, how we see the people around us. Here's the truth. The love of the everlasting Father is not a concept to admire. It's a reality to live in. And so let me just walk through this, starting with the first point. Number one, living in the Father's love changes how we see God. Many people relate to God through fear or distance or performance. I messed up. God's disappointed. I'm struggling. I should hide this. I failed again. God's probably done with me. But when you begin to see God as Father, the way that Jesus reveals him, everything changes. You begin to see a Father who actually delights in you. A Father who welcomes you, a Father who listens to you, a Father who cares for you, a Father who is patient while you're growing, a Father who isn't going anywhere. You stop avoiding God. You start approaching God. You stop performing for God. You actually start finding rest with God. You stop fearing his reactions. And you actually start trusting that his heart is true and it's for you. This is why Paul said to the Romans, you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but a spirit who brought you your adoption to sonship. You know, adoption was, it's not just a metaphor to Paul. It's like the deepest way that he knew to describe a God who chooses you and who loves you and who claims you forever. All right, the second thing is, living in the Father's love changes how we see ourselves. When you know who your Father is, you stop trying to prove who you are. People who see themselves through shame hide. People who see themselves through the Father's eyes, they step into freedom. People believe they must earn love and grind themselves into exhaustion. People who know they're loved, they move into a life of confidence and peace. And let's be honest, many of us spend our days trying to win approval from people who aren't even thinking about us. And Jesus says, you don't need to chase identity. You already have one. You are mine. All right, number three, living in the Father's love changes how we treat others. One of the unmistakable signs that a person has experienced the Father's love is the way they begin to extend that love to others. when the Father has been gentle with you, you actually find yourself becoming more gentle with other people. When the Father has been patient with you, you start showing patience with people who used to drive you crazy. When the Father has forgiven you a lot, you start to release the grudges that you once held so tightly. When the Father has embraced you at your worst, you learn to welcome people instead of judging them. You start to see people not as obstacles or annoyances, but as sons and daughters of a good Father. Let's be honest, many of us don't naturally exude fatherly love on traffic on the 580, right? Like, or at Starbucks in the drive-through lane when the person in front of you is ordering drinks for the entire office, you know. Left to ourselves, what we do is we respond through our wounds. We respond from our impatience. We respond from our insecurities. But when the Father heals our hearts and start to fill us with his love, like, our reactions will begin to shift. Maybe it's slow and maybe it's imperfectly, but beautifully, we'll begin to shift. The Spirit will begin to produce fruit that isn't from our efforts. It's from our presence with our everlasting Father, which leads to the fourth point. Living in the Father's love frees us to rest instead of thrive. One of the most countercultural gifts the Father offers is rest. I'm not talking about laziness. I'm not talking about avoidance or passivity. I'm talking about rest, a deep internal settledness that comes not from having to perform to be accepted. The everlasting Father says, you don't have to earn love. You don't have to manufacture your worth. You don't have to prove yourself at all. This is why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest comes from not from having an easy life. It comes from having a Father who holds your life. All right, number five, living in the Father's love means bringing our imperfections honestly. You know, unlike the false gods of performance and achievement, the everlasting Father is not impressed by our perfection. He's not. He is impressed by our honesty. You don't have to clean up. Some people think they have to clean up their life before coming to God. You do not have to clean up your life before coming to God. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to filter your feelings like an Instagram story. You have to be honest. You have to bring your mess, bring your questions, bring your confusion, bring your fears and your wounds and the parts of your story that feel unfinished. He already knows them anyway. And he already loves you anyway. I once heard someone describe the moment he realized he was living as a spiritual orphan. This is what he said. I kept trying to hold everything together by myself. I didn't want to bother God with my struggles. I didn't want to be a disappointment. But then one day it hit me, that isn't how a father thinks. A father wants to hold what's breaking you. A father wants to be present. A father wants to carry what you can't. And that's the moment that changed his life. Because when you understand the Father's heart, you stop hiding your weaknesses and you just start letting love begin to work in your life. So where do you need the Father's love today? Where are you striving? Where are you exhausted? Where are you afraid of not measuring up? Where do you feel alone? Where do you keep people at a distance because your heart feels fragile? The everlasting Father invites you to live not as spiritual orphans, but as beloved sons and daughters, safe and seen and held and cherished and led and loved. That's why Isaiah's words matter so much. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. Because whether your earthly father was wonderful or wounded or absent or complicated, your soul was made for a love of a father who never leaves, who never turns away, who never grows weary, who never gives up, who never stops loving you. You were made for the love of a father who is everlasting. And here's the mystery of Christmas. The everlasting Father doesn't wait for us to climb our way to him. He comes down to us. He enters the world, not with like thunder, but with tenderness, not with a palace, but in a manger, not with intimidation, but with an invitation. Because the Father's love always moves toward his children. It always, always, always moves toward his children. Even in your confusion, he moves toward you. Even in your failures, he moves toward you. Even in your doubts or your fears or your loneliness, your regrets, he moves toward you. Christmas is God saying, you don't have to be alone anymore. Some of you know what it feels like when someone leaves, when someone distances themselves, when someone withdraws love, but the everlasting Father is not like that. He doesn't leave when life gets messy. He doesn't pull away when you struggle. He doesn't retreat when your faith wavers. He doesn't get tired of you repeating the same prayer over and over again. He doesn't get impatient with your process of healing. He is a Father who stays. He is a Father who remains. He is a Father whose love is anchored and steady and unshakable. A Father whose love doesn't end when you fail, it deepens. A Father whose grace doesn't shrink when you're weak, it expands. A Father whose heart is for you, always. I once heard someone describe how every night when he got home from work, his young son would run toward the door with his arms opened as if he'd be waiting. He'd been waiting like all day for that moment. But one evening, the man said that he paused before walking inside and he felt God whisper to him, "You think you're the father in this story, but you're the child, and I'm the one waiting at the door." That's the everlasting Father. It is. He's not reluctant toward you. He's not cautious or hesitant. He's not withholding. He's the one who runs toward you with a love that welcomes and restores and embraces and holds you. So where do you long for a Father's love today? Like, where is that place in your life where you feel small or insecure or fragile or unworthy or overwhelmed or afraid? Like, where is that place where you're still trying to be strong on your own because you're not sure a Father will be there to catch you? The everlasting Father sees that place right now, and he's not turning away. He's moving toward you. He's moving toward it with tenderness, with strength. And all he asks for you is that you open your heart to him. Maybe today's the day that you stop seeing God as distant, and you start seeing him as a Father. Maybe today's the day that you stop carrying wounds alone and you just begin to let him heal you. Maybe today's the day you stop striving for identity and you begin receiving the one that he gives you. Maybe today is the day that you come home. All right, would you bow your heads with me as we pray and the worship team comes to lead us in a closing song? God, we thank you, Father, Heavenly Father, Everlasting Father, we thank you that you are not distant, that you are near, you are steady and gentle, and your love is unchanging. So God, for every person here who's carrying wounds that they've hidden maybe for years, would you just meet them, bring to them your healing presence right now? God, for every person who feels alone, would you just meet them in their loneliness? Would you embrace them? God, for every person who's striving just to prove themselves, would you just speak your identity over them? You are my child. You are loved. You belong to me. For every person who's maybe afraid to trust again, would you show through Jesus that you are a Father who never leaves? And God, for everyone who's not opened their life to you, would you just give them the courage in this moment to just whisper, Jesus, I need you. I need you as my Savior. I need you as my everlasting Father. God, would you help us not to live as orphans, but as sons and daughters that are held by your everlasting love? And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.